everyone. This is Alyssa Amoroso, and you may know me as Publicity on Instagram, but now I'm putting my phone down to chat with everyone from reality stars to fashion influencers to leading industry execs. We're going to be dishing on the things you don't see on social media. So turn your volume up because things are about to get juicy. This is the Publicity Podcast. Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to the Publicity Podcast. I am your host, Alyssa Amoroso. And if you are new here, because I know I probably have a lot of challenge stands joining at this very moment, I am a former publicist turned fashion, lifestyle, beauty influencer, all of those millennial cliches. But I love pop culture. I interview tons of reality stars, influencers, and entrepreneurs. So I am so excited because Josh Martinez is on the pod today. You probably know him from Big Brother or The Challenge. And honestly, the Josh that I have come to know is different than the Josh that I feel is represented on TV. So I'm really interested for you guys to hear from him. And if you're not a challenge fan and you are just finding this podcast and interview because you follow me, let me just tell you that you are sleeping on the world's best reality show ever. I have been watching the show for Lord knows how long. I am so obsessed with it. I love anything that has a competition element. It has like equal parts of drama and competition, and I just think it's like the most fun show ever. So this is my PSA to all of you. If you're not watching, you really should. Did I want to tell you anything else? Oh, I know. Okay, last thing. I have this Facebook group currently. It's called the Publicity Tribe. And basically, it's a place where I'm trying to gather a group of diverse women, men, LGBTQ, literally anyone who loves to talk about pop culture, loves to just like chat about life, personal struggles, literally anything. I want to create a community where we could all come together and rely on each other and have this like little virtual BFF situation. There's about 120 people in the group right now, but I want it to grow. I want people to start conversation, meet people online. I want it to become a loving place. There's a lot of groups on Facebook for different podcasts. And I honestly find that some of them are problematic. There's a lot of drama. And I'm just not into that. I want to create a really, really safe space for everyone. So if you are interested in joining, it is Publicity. It's spelt weird. So just bear with me. Publicita. Publicity Tribe. I know that's a mouthful. So if you don't know it, you could just DM me on Instagram at Publicity, Publicity. I will also, you know what I'll do, guys? That's even easier than you having to DM me or do anything. I will post the link to request access to join in the notes section of this podcast. So if you want to join, please come on by. Again, I want it to be a safe space. I really want it to be loving and not one of those like groups where everyone just shits on each other. Like, I will not tolerate anything that isn't anything but nice. So if you're interested in joining, that will be in my bio. And yeah, that's it. Let's get straight into the podcast with Josh. Sorry if the audio is a little sketchy. As you guys know, I really like to do my interviews face-to-face, but obviously we're in quarantine and we're doing everything over Zoom. So this is the best I could get. The connection was a little spotty from time to time, but overall, I think you're going to love the episode. And I do want to just note really quickly that in the beginning of the podcast, Josh gets a little cut off because of his connection, but we're talking about a really serious and heavy topic, so I wouldn't feel right trying to edit out any of what he was saying. So the first like minute or so is a little choppy, but just bear with me and bear with the audio. I think you will get the gist of what he is saying. We're talking about the Wes and Dee situation, so I think you could read between the lines there, but again, I just didn't feel comfortable editing his words because I don't want to ever take anything out of context. So just keep listening and you will get through it. Thanks, guys. So I know so much is going on right now. I mean, especially yes, not just the world, but also in the challenge world. I've seen yes, so much drama unfold with Swaggy and Dee, and actually Wes just put out a statement like about an hour ago. I don't know if you saw it, but
yeah, I did see it.
It's just crazy.
Everything feels really heavy, and obviously with everything that's going on in the world, you know, it's so much craziness, but it's also like, you know, you can't get away with things like that, and just like, you don't know how heavy or how much you can really affect somebody with aggressive comments. And I don't think the depth of like what she said, I feel for her in the sense of like, I'm worried, if I'm being real, I'm worried about her mental health. It's been a lot in the past few hours and past 2 days. So I'm really concerned for her mental health, but I also know that, you know, Bailey and Swaggy did feel affected by what she said in their own right. And she was ignorant for what she said. It's not excused. And I think the challenge taking a stance is huge, because I've been doing TV now for 3 years, and you know, I dealt with, I'm a Latino, I'm not black or anything like that, but as a Latino, I've dealt with that type of microaggression on TV while filming. During my season of Big Brother, I felt completely misunderstood because I was the only Latino, and people were like, you know, there was a lot of comments that were made that people didn't understand how it affected me my whole life. And it was never aired. You would just see people reacting and all that stuff. So I think even within the challenge, I've seen it with my own eyes while filming, and none of that shit makes air. So I'm really glad that the challenge, the way they dealt with everything, and I hope that that's like the new trend for them and they continue to take actions like that.
Yeah, and I see a lot of people saying, you know, they should have done this sooner with Camilla or other people, but it's kind of like, they could only move forward. So I just, you know, be happy they're doing it now. Obviously in the past they've let things slide, but it's just, it's all about like positive momentum, I feel. So it's like, just,
I agree. You
know, they're doing the right thing now.
I completely agree. And I think that that's the thing, like they can't go back and fix everything and all that stuff. But I think that those certain people moving forward, they won't get called back, you know? And I think that now with the movement, everything and everybody kind of taking a stance, it's honestly amazing to watch how united everybody has kind of been, even influencers and just people in general. Like the conversations I've had in the past week alone with so many friends and family and like castmates has been so productive, and I'm really happy that even in our own TV community, production's taking a stance and just doing what's right, you know?
Totally. And I feel like I have like an outline of questions, but just it kind of, honestly, like you said, you went through this stuff in the Big Brother house. I feel like it happened.
And it's something that I've been, it's something that I've never spoke out about. I still don't want to really jump into it. But I think that as the only Latino, I'm the only, this is looking at the stats, like I'm the only Latino male person of color in 20 plus seasons to ever win the show. Wow. I think that also there was a lot of, they know why they cast for conflict. And, you know, they knew they were going to get this Latin Miami kid out of freaking, literally, from Cuba, legit. Like, I grew up, you know, my first language was Spanish. And then they put people that were Trump supporters. And they put people that, you know, they knew what they were doing. So I don't fully blame my castmates. I know that production was casting for conflict with our cast. And I dealt with a lot of shit that I wish that people would have seen, because I feel like I was very misunderstood, but I was, my outrage was coming from a place of, you know, being kind of targeted. You know, I was called a moron because I couldn't pronounce certain words. Bilingual, my first language is Spanish. So I don't even want to really get into that because I never really spoke out about it. But just with seeing, I think when I saw the challenge do that, the first thing that went through my mind was, I wish Big Brother would do something like that.
Yeah. And I feel
that's
like
literally the first thing that went through my mind.
And they've come under fire, you know, for their own things. Like last season, there was a lot of race issues brought up. And I feel like Big Brother has kind of been under that spotlight too. So I'm interested to see how this next season will go. If they, you know, there's rumoring that they're going to do like an All-Stars or whatever it is, but I'm just kind of curious to see how that conversation happens, especially if they're bringing these people in right now in the pandemic, in quarantine. I feel like tensions are going to be so high in that house, and like conversations are just going to play out on screen.
And I think that this is the thing. I think that if they do, obviously it's all rumors and speculation right now, but I think it's the right time to do All-Stars, because at the end of the day, I think the fans do not want to see another bunch of ignorant people on TV. We're over it. I'm a fan of the show. I'm fucking over it. I don't want to see these people saying ignorant shit, below the belt, microaggressive comments. And I think All-Stars, I know that they're going to bring in people that are fan favorites and all that stuff, but I hope that they bring in more minorities other than just like the one token Latino like me.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see more than the one token Black girl. Like, we have, and I just tweeted it right now, we have enough minorities where we can have those conversations that need to be had on such a huge platform. And if I'm in there, you bet your ass that I'm literally going to talk about things like this, because it needs to be, I think that everybody's on that same page of, like, you know, bringing awareness. And I think CBS is even on that movement as well now. But
I think people are ready to start having these conversations. I think one thing that you could relate to is, like, people being nasty on social media. I feel like I see it happen. People give you hate. And honestly, like, the guy I watch on TV, I think you seem like a great guy. You always seem like you're helping people.
Thank you.
I mean, obviously everyone gets worked up. There's different things that go on. Yeah. But, I mean, how do you deal with all of the backlash and all of the hate and just, like, stay above it?
Yeah. It's so hard. If I'm being real, it's so hard. Because, you know, I think that the one thing that I constantly remind myself when I'm, like, this season has been really happy for me, and it has been really hard for me, if I'm being real. I dealt with so much, you know, personal things in that game, in that house, in that environment, in that bunker, that, like, with my family and everything, that a lot of people don't know about, but I was dealing with that. And, you know, I realized that I took it out on people in the game. So as I watch, I think with every show that I do, I grow and I learn more about myself and all that can take away. But I do feel like, you know, the hate's been out of control online, and it's just been so crazy. And I mean, directed towards not only me, but all my castmates. And it's, you know, I signed up to win money. I signed up to, change my financial situation. And I've been able to, you know, make a lot of money in my 3 years of doing TV. But I didn't sign up for a following or influencer life or a fame or whatever you want to call it. And that's been the hardest thing to adapt to, is learning how to block that out. But I think that I remind myself where I came from, and I remind myself that at the end of the day, I fucking love myself. I love that I'm emotional, that I wear my heart on my sleeves, that I have an opinion, that I stand up for what I believe is right. And it might not be right for everybody. It may come off intense, but it's who I am. And I can watch back and say, in that moment, I stay true to who I am, and I can only learn from my mistakes. So I really learned to just completely just ignore it, kind of. You become numb to it after a while.
I'm so bad, because I get, like, one comment and I clap back. I'm like, I would be going, it's so hard. Like, you want to defend yourself. You want to say something nasty back. And I don't really get hate. And I still, like, will get one passive-aggressive comment, and I'm like, oh, it's hard.
It is. And believe me, I have those moments where I want to fucking go off and literally rip a new one. And I want to, I want to talk about the edit. And I've been doing that, but I realize, I'm like, at the end of the day, we're filming a TV show. I know what I signed up for. I'm not always going to get the perfect edit. I think with me, I realize I am, you know, not that I realized, I had this producer tell me this on Big Brother, and it stuck with me. And when I got off, they were like, hey, you kind of got a lot of backlash online, but we want you to know that you're fucking great for TV. You're polarizing. And, like, you, either people love you or hate you, but you are you. That has stuck with me till now. And I think that I remind myself that I'm not there to, you know, be America's favorite. I'm not there to be everyone's favorite. I'm there to be myself and just do my job. And, I think that my personality is very easy to edit in a very, you know, dramatic way, because I'm so emotional. But I think that that's what I get frustrated sometimes with edits, where I'm like, damn, I wish they showed why I reacted instead of jumping straight into, like, me going nuts, you know? But,
totally. No, I get it.
Sign up for it. If that makes any sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. I think something that people are talking a lot about this season, and I got a lot of questions about, was your like so-called feud with Wes. I honestly thought he was being a dick to you. Everyone else thought it was like so funny. I'm like too empathetic. Yeah. Every time someone's getting hate, I like always feel bad for that person because I just...
You're a sweetheart. You're an angel.
There's just like more to the story, I always feel. But I just felt like it was interesting to watch it play out. And people are curious. Yeah. Obviously, we saw what played out on TV, but he actually came to your defense on Twitter and told people to
he did.
You. And have you had conversations with him since the season, or was this
just text him
random?
Yeah. Just text him right now. So
really?
I think that, yeah, we've been texting. I just texted him right now. I wanted to check in on him because I saw his tweet earlier. This is the thing. So with that whole situation, there's a lot that goes into play. This was months ago when we filmed. We had 2 months. So we had two, three months where we went from season 34, where I had just blindsided him, had no conversations at all. So I'm through a Skype call at the reunion, jumped straight into 35. So I had a stacked house with friends. It was the first show that I've ever filmed, but I was like, if I have any obstacles, it's going to be Wes. So that's where that whole, if you want to say paranoia, because I was paranoid. Like watching back, I was like, Dan, you were fucking paranoid, dude.
I didn't blame you because you did blindside him. So I don't understand why people...
Exactly. So it was like, it wasn't even me so much targeting him because we had that conversation. It wasn't even me so much targeting him. It was more of me being paranoid that he was going to come after me. Also, I don't know if I can say these things, but I'm going to say it. Wes didn't want to play into that. Like, production was pushing that storyline so hard on me and pushing it on us. And I think Wes was like, I want no part in this. I don't want to, I don't give that any attention. Like, I got blindsided. I'm done. Like, I don't want that a story. And I wasn't thinking about it from that point. I was just thinking about it like, I'm involved. I don't think, now that I've done 3 shows, I understand that we are, it is a show. We are filming a TV show. And they understand that because they've done it so many years. I kind of just play the game and flow with it. But I don't think he wanted any part to do with the storyline that, even like the rivals thing, they picked that, like those, I would say he's not really my rival. I just don't trust the guy. Like with the wording and everything, it was, I can get in trouble.
Yeah, no, I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Bananas and Jay, for example. Like, I feel like people expected them to have beef because Jay dated Morgan. And like, apparently Bananas like didn't want it to come up at all.
At all, yeah, and avoided that. And I think it's smart. And I think moving forward with the whole Wes thing, I think that also the reason why I clashed with Wes in that game is because Wes just turned into this freaking huge ego and this persona in the game, but often he's actually a really nice person. And, he's been one of the few people I struggled, if I'm being real, I've struggled really bad this season with the backlash and just the negativity. I try to focus on the positive, but obviously being in quarantined and everything has felt really heavy with the show. He's been one of those people that has checked in on me and like he said he did on social media, he tweeted, and that's what means a lot to me. I don't care about the game anymore. It's about like in real life, he's a good fucking human being, and that's what I appreciate. And I know if we do go back, it's same fucking Wes that puts up an act, but I see past that because he is a good guy, So I don't think I'll ever target him again because I don't think he's threatened by me on a game level. So that's dead. That's completely forward in future seasons. This season was pure just literally paranoia because I blindsided the guy, So I was on edge the whole time.
Oh, I don't blame you. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. One other thing that I got some questions about, and I actually was wondering myself when I was watching, people like – are confused when you and Bananas became such good friends because you were talking. You're like, that's my guy. And we're all like, what? Since when? Like what?
Yeah. That's another thing. It's like, that's the one thing that, so people need to understand. I've filmed 3 seasons. That's 6-8 months out of my life. And outside of that, we built friendships. Johnny, from the moment I stepped foot on the challenge, he's been nothing but supportive. I think he's been kind of the vet that has kind of showed me the ropes. But none ever made the edit. None of that has ever been shown. But I think going into this season, we had a lot of conversations. I think everybody in the house knew that I was not going to target Johnny. I always said it. I was like, I'm never going to target Johnny. I'm not going after the guy. They don't show that. It doesn't make storyline. I don't think it made any sense to show our friendship. You know, it was like we had each other's back, but it wasn't like we were, you know, working so close together and shit like that. We just knew that we wouldn't say each other's names. But man, I fucking love that guy. And I think that, you know, it kind of sucks that people don't see a lot of friendships, not only that friendship, a lot of friendships, because we spend so much time together. And off the show, we all talk all the time. You know, we all check in on each other. So you build really strong relationships with a lot of people in there. And it just sucks that that doesn't make for good TV. Us fighting and ripping each other's heads off is way more entertaining, you know?
No, it's so true. I actually did get that question from a lot of people. They wanted to know, like, who you keep in touch with the most outside of the house. Because I do feel like there's a difference between, like, show friends and then, like, friends, you know?
Yeah. I have a good relationship with a lot of people, but I think the closest ones I would say, you know, Fessy, Casey, Nani, Johnny, I think, you know, from the UK, I would say me and Bear are cool, obviously. But I try to do check-ins with everyone here and there. We all have really good friendships. I think that this last season, a lot of us became really close. You know, this last season, I think because of the whole bunker and the environment, it was a whole different dynamic, a whole different crowd. And I think that because of the bunker, we all became really close. But I think, yeah, those, I'm seeing Casey and Fessy in a few days. And then, yeah, Nani and me always build a good friendship. She lives in West Palm, so we always had a good friendship. But yeah, I get along with most of everyone, and we all keep in touch. We FaceTime, we text, you know, we always check in on each other.
I feel like now more than ever too, like people have been hanging out so much, like because social media, like now you see like Nani and Kayla and Marie, like everyone's just like so much more involved. I feel like than they used to be a few years ago. It used to be like television friendships and then you would just be friends on TV and then go home and live your life. But now even like this whole quarantine house that Wes did, it's like everyone's just hanging out 24/7 these days.
Yeah. I think, and that's what's cool. That's what's cool. It's also, it feels like, you know, I think what I appreciate about those friendships too, obviously I have a really good circle at home, which I fucking love my friends. Since college, we've been best friends and my family, I'm really, really close with them. But the thing that's different with obviously people, my TV friends, is that we're the only ones that understand what we go through. You know, when we're going through it on social media and when we're having down days, we all check in on each other. We all try to, like, the ones I have good friendships with, you know, we're all there for each other. And we're the only ones that truly understand what the fuck we're going through, you know? So that's why I appreciate those friendships. And the people that, you know, I constantly keep in touch with, that means so much to me because we just all at the end of the day are trying to do something better for ourselves. And we're the only kind of support that we have that understand the world that we're involved in. So, it's a different friendship. It's a different friendship, but it's like, I really appreciate that. At least I know those are the people I could turn to and they'll understand what I'm going through.
That makes a lot of sense. I feel like also this season with the Red Skull twist, it was just like completely shifted the way that alliances worked. I kind of feel like people are working in alliances, but they're also kind of like all about themselves at the same time because everything's like so shaken up. Did you go into the house with an alliance or was everything kind of thrown out the window? Like what was your method behind all of that?
Yeah. So we all, obviously as soon as we got the call, so this is the thing, we came off of a season where all these numbers that we weren't aligned with made it to the end. So we said, all right, we're literally going to come in stacked because we thought a lot of those people were going to come back, you know, and last minute, a lot of them dropped. So we said, all right, we all reached out. It was like Johnny, Kyle, Bear, me, Nani. It was a whole bunch of us. And we're like, Tori, Jordan, we all were like, we're coming in with numbers. We're coming in stacked. We're getting to the end and then we'll duke it out once we get to. And as soon as that Red Skull twist got announced, like on day two, all of that shit went out the window. And it was like, it literally became fend for yourself. I think my strategy went from I was stacked with numbers because this is the first time where I had so many friends and I came from a season where I was outnumbered that I played it and I still have a lot of season to play out. There's still so much more that's going to be shown. But I think that I played it really safe this season and I wouldn't say scared, but I played it safe because I was like, I have numbers on my side. never got mentioned. I'm talking about nomination, my name never got mentioned. I was in a really good position. And all I was thinking was get to the end and win. Like, this is your shot. This is the first time in your challenge in three seasons that you felt really good. So I played it too safe. If like reflecting back on it, I played it way too safe. But you know, I think it was hard to adapt to that because we thought we were going to be riding with our numbers, and then it just all became everyone for themselves. So it was definitely, we all would say, "Fuck, this was the season for all those people to come back, and we would have gotten our revenge, and they would have gotten their karma," you know. But it played out. I like the twist. I like the twist.
I like it because I think it was so refreshing, because last season a lot of people went in with that like numbers mentality, and then towards the end of the season you were kind of like, none of these people got their hands dirty. And I feel like what makes the show so good isn't the drama, it's like the physicality of it. And you want to see people like duking it out, and it's fun to see. So when that was like taken away a little bit, everyone was like, now what? Like, all the people that made it to the final, we never even saw them in an elimination. So I think I personally liked the twist. I'm interested to see if they will continue to do it.
I hope so.
Me too.
And there's two things. So from a production standpoint, I don't think that they liked, and I'm seeing where the edit is going, I don't think that they liked that by the end, like towards the end, now we're on episode 10 going into episode 11, right? Yeah. So I don't think that they liked how we all kind of started making deals, and that's what's not shown in the edit. We all started cutting out deals. I'm going to go against you. We started, it became a call-out game. All right, so we're going to go, may the best person win. So it killed storyline. It killed the whole me against you type of thing. And it became a bit stale and boring. And I think that production didn't like how everybody was like, all right, I want to go in. No conversations, no arguments being had, no dialect, no nothing. It was kind of like, you know, everybody just said, I'm going to face you in elimination. I'm going to face you. That's it. Everybody picked who you're going up against, and we'll duke it out, and whoever wins goes to the final. And that's the reality. Now, how they're going to edit that, I don't know. I'm kind of seeing the way they're going. But, you know, that's, I don't think that they like that. Like, it, whereas in last season, yeah, the numbers made it to the end, but there was so much conflict and divide. And, you know, sides, there was sides. And even though one side was outnumbered, there was still that, you know, conflict between the both sides. And that makes for better TV. So I don't know if this Red Skull twist is going to come back, honestly, because, you know, I think after a while we were just over it. And I think production got pissed off at that.
Yeah.
You know?
So one thing also that I think is interesting. Also, I see what you're saying, because even with Johnny going in, it was kind of like.
Yeah. Over it. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone was like, all right, he's going
in. Tori going in. Yes. You know, obviously they. Like when I spoke out about that, I said something, it was like a girls nomination. Oh, the double with Anissa and production. Production was like, are you guys not going to have a conversation about this? Are you guys just going to let these girls have it? So I spoke up and was like, all right, let me just state this. Even though we knew the obvious, we already knew who was going to go in. It was already talked about, but like we're filming a show. So it's like, you know, that's what people don't get. It's like there needs to be some sort of argument or conflict or conversation. And I think that at that point, production was just like, oh, fuck, what do we do here? You know, so like you had to do, you know, there was certain things that we couldn't just like walk into deliberation and be like, all right, I'm going in. And that's what started to happen towards the end. And they did not like that at all.
They almost need to keep doing like smaller twists every few weeks to keep people on their toes, because if they don't do the Red Skull twist, then people just play numbers game and they don't want that. And then if they do the Red Skull twist, then people start just like voting each other in and not caring. So it's kind of like they can't really win, I feel like. So they almost just do like a few blindsides versus like one twist for the season. But I mean, they've done it in the past, but I guess we'll just kind of see like how it plays out in season forward.
And listen, I think that we all thought we wouldn't all tell each other about it. We were probably a month and a half into filming and we're like, this season is going to be so boring, because we are all just like at this point already like names and who we're going up against. And it's like, it doesn't make for a good story. And watching this season, it's one of the best seasons. I honestly, what they've done with it, it's like, even watching back, I'm like, holy shit, the way everything has been edited and shown, and they're geniuses at their craft and the way that they're, that's why it's like, I don't mind getting a fucking bad edit because I know the reality and I'm at peace knowing that, like, even if they make me look like I'm scared and this and that, it's like, you know, the ones that filmed it know the deal. And I get that we're making a good show and they've done really good with, we did not think that it was going to air out to be this good. So I'm happy with, you know, the way it's been, how successful the show has been, you know, because we thought it was going to be a boring ass season.
Yeah. You know what,
and
though?
It's been great.
If you start like being everyone's favorite, then you only have room to fail. But if you kind of start at the bottom, then you grow as the seasons go on and then you can become like a hero. So, hey.
Yeah. This is a thing, and I'll be real with you. I've accepted that I am a very, very chaotic, problematic, emotional, irrational, crazy person. But in the same sense, I think that gets highlighted a lot with the edits and everything. But I'm happy that I stay true to myself. So if I continue to do seasons and I'm misunderstood or I'm hated and I get backlash, at the end of the day, I'm 26. All I'm going to do is watch back and learn and grow from it. But, you know, if people think that that's going to make me, like, not do TV anymore and then negativity, if anything, it's only making me more determined, more driven to just keep coming back. And I'm young, so I'm just getting started. So I hope that, I hope that as seasons go on, I do get better at it. But I'm not mad at it. I know what I signed up for.
So one of the things also that I want to talk about is I feel like production is doing a great job, but the one thing they're not really showing that I keep hearing in interviews from cast members is just the toll that living in the bunker like put on them and how they were just so insane living in there.
Broken down. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to hear what it was like actually being in those living conditions.
It's crazy because they were in interviews. They kept, and they wanted us to express how we felt, what it was doing to us. And I cannot explain to you. So I filmed Big Brother and that was the first time where I was in environment in law. And as soon as I walked into the bunker, I hadn't been in an environment like that. Like our last two seasons were in villas and outside and we had the yard. And I walked into the bunker and the first few weeks we didn't have a yard area, which is like a fucking little box outside with just fresh air.
Yeah.
And I literally got PTSD and I never experienced PTSD in my life. And it was PTSD and it was like trauma. It was like, I'm locked down. I can't go out. There's no windows. And we saw throughout the season, everyone, I'm telling you, every single person this season had a breakdown like that because of the environment that we were living in. We would get on the bus, blacked out windows, like completely blacked out. You couldn't look outside. If you looked outside, you were getting fined or yelled at by production. So they wanted to build this like confinement and it took a toll on us. By the end, 2 months in, it was like everybody hit a wave of depression and we didn't want to get out of bed. We would literally check in on each other and try to do anything to help each other. They started giving us movie nights because they saw how it was breaking us down, gave us longer calls, like two calls a week instead of one. So they realized that it was, I think that they got scared. I think that's why they haven't even shown it, because they just really got scared of what it did to us. Because it really fucking took a toll on us.
That's really,
and just our mental health. Yeah, it was traumatizing. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And the thing is, people are gonna be like, oh, you're being so dramatic. I'm telling you, you guys will never understand. Like, even watching it, it doesn't look that bad. It was fucking horrible. It was horrible.
Like, so since you did do Big Brother also, and Big Brother's similar in some regards, what made this so much worse than being in the Big Brother house? Or was it?
I think it was way worse than being in the Big Brother house. I think the Big Brother house, even though my season was just completely intense and crazy, I think that it was like you had fun games and things like that. We were in Prague. The weather sucked. It was freezing cold. It was like every day was like gray out. So it's like, I think people can relate, like in quarantine, you guys have your phones, your TVs, your laptops and all the shit. We're stripped from everything, all communication. And then we're in, at least like in Florida, we get to go out to the pool and everything. And that's what helped me during quarantine, like going outside and getting fresh air. When we were in that bunker, we couldn't step out. And we stepped out, it was freezing cold, to have like a cigarette break and go pee. We used porta potties all season long because we didn't have regular toilets. So we were using the restrooms for porta potties. So it was hell. It was literally like privileged prison. Not even privileged prison. It was rough. Yeah.
No, I mean, it sounds, I would have a heart attack. So I don't blame you at all. So also Swaggy and Bailey, I feel like yeah. I'm okay. So I watched Swaggy season of Big Brother and Bailey, and obviously he wasn't on the show long, but I feel like they were, you know, they made a splash and yeah. like they had big personalities. And then coming onto the challenge, I guess the same could be said for you. Like, you know, Big Brother is such a different show. You guys have such big personalities on it. When you come onto the challenge, you're expecting that same kind of like energy. And then energy, all of a yeah. sudden, Swaggy's like chill. Granted, you had your argument with him, but I'm yeah. talking about like his edit strictly.
Overall, yeah.
I'm like, this is not what I was expecting from either of them. And I also feel like they've really like kind of, for rookies, skated their way through at this point.
I don't think skated. I think that they made a huge impact. All the Big Brother rookies made a massive impact in the game and in the house this season. And I think that people, I don't think they were threatened. I just knew right off the bat, they showed that they were strong competitors and people were like, yeah, I don't want to be taken down by them. You know, I think that's what happened. I think that, you know, Swaggy has won. We had our differences. We don't really talk right now, but I'm not going to take away from that. He, you know, like everybody, we all have our weaknesses and our strengths, but he proved himself, so did Fessy and Bailey and Casey. So I think that they just made a huge impact just competitively in the game right off the bat. And people saw that. Yeah.
Because usually, like, look at Jay. He was thrown in a million times. And, like, yeah. they – I mean, granted, they are all really strong competitors, but it's just amazing to see because we're – like, as a fan, we're all used to seeing the rookies just, like, put in
– get picked off.
Over and over again, and like they're really leading, like you see them in the tribunals, you see them leading conversations, and it's just like yeah. what is going, like we only see what we're seeing on TV, and it's like what is going on behind the scenes that's making, you know, them last.
Yeah, I think so. When we walked into this season, we all walked in saying that we were going to have a Big Brother alliance, which I'm surprised. I think that because of such big blow-ups that even haven't aired yet, they didn't show that edit, but Big Brother was such a huge alliance in that game. And a lot of people were not threatened by it, but a lot of people were like, holy shit, Big Brother kids are united. Because we did, you know, for a while there, we did have a good stride going and we did kind of work together. But not only that, we had ties with the house. So I think they had their ties with Wes. Casey had her ties with the girl, had his ties with Corey and all that stuff. But I think that the reason why they didn't show that in the edit is because our blow-ups were so massive and they did separate us completely that it just didn't even make sense to introduce that alliance. But we did walk in working together. And then as the season went on, it just like split up. But I think that not only the separate ties that we all had and that they all had, but also the way that they dominated in competitions, it was just like, that's why they're, and I think they'll continue to get called back, but I think that's why they set such a strong tone as rookies, because they just dominated. They really did.
Wow, that's awesome. I wish we would see more of Casey's personality a little bit. Hopefully in like the next few episodes or so, they'll start to show more of her. But in the first few episodes, I was like, they're not even showing her. And then I would see people online that didn't watch Big Brother be like, wait, who's that? Like, they haven't even shown her speak. Now she's starting to get a little bit more airtime, but I feel like she's a really great competitor, so I hope they kind of show more of that.
She's great, and that's the thing. With Casey, she's like, if she's not involved in something, she's not going to insert herself. And the dope thing about Casey is, like, I knew why, as a fan of Big Brother and getting to know her off of the show, I know, and then filming the season with her, I realized why she won Big Brother. Everybody gravitates towards her. If they were having a bad day, you go to Casey. Like, if you want to work out, have fun, and just have a good laugh, Casey gives off, like, that positive, she's like a ball of positive energy, and everybody just loved her. So it's like, it doesn't make for good TV for, you know, people to have these real conversations and just having a good time and all that shit. So it's like, Casey wasn't really in the drama like that. She was there to compete, and that's where she shines. And I think that she's okay with that. She's like, oh, okay, I didn't really get airtime or anything, but like, she shined when she had to do in eliminations, in competitions. And I think that, you know, I get why she won Big Brother and why she's going to continue to come back. Because at the end of the day, where it counts is her competing well, and she's good at that. So,
yeah, and like, I feel like I said, the show is about drama, yes, but people also love to see great competitors. So as long as you're one of the two elements, you're good to go.
Yeah,
I want to get into a few Big Brother questions. Most of them relate to the challenge, but a lot of like crossover questions. So at the top of the podcast, I said that there's rumors that there's going to be an all-star season. And you kind of insinuated that you would happily go back. What is it like now trying to go between the two, like with contracts and stuff? Is it even possible for someone to make the switch at this point? It's okay if you can't answer.
No, I'll answer it. So my situation is completely different. Not completely different, because I think a few of us, if the rumors are true about All-Stars and if that's in the talks and all that stuff, the only people that I would really see doing that crossover that I can see from my point of view, getting a call would be like me, Casey, or like, Davon, that's a huge personality. I think that with the challenge, you have to negotiate those carve outs. You have to negotiate that you're able to always work with CBS, but I'm three seasons in, and my situation is different because I had something really good going on with MTV, and the more seasons you do, the more money you make. So if it was out there, if I'm being completely real, besides having to go through the whole legal contract situation, the money has to make sense. And that would just be if hypothetically, like if that was the situation, the money would have to be right, because at this point, MTV, the challenge just turned into kind of a career thing for me. And I see where it's going for me and the opportunity that I've been blessed with. And even though as a fan, All-Stars are huge, there is contracts and there is, now it has to make sense because we do deal with a lot. And
yeah, these things are jobs. I mean, it's not just fun, it's business.
Yeah, it's business. And we deal with a lot on the show, off the show. And, it has to be worth it at the end of the day. So I don't know. But as a fan, man, I hope All-Stars happens. It's the time. It has to happen. And, if I'm just talking from a fan perspective, there's a lot of favorites that I would want to see come back. But then there's a lot of people that are just fucking flat out good TV entertaining, like Zach Rand. And yeah, like some of them that I would love to see back. So hopefully it does happen.
Who are some people that you would like love to see back, just from entertainment perspective or just like good at playing the game perspective?
Some of my good to see Tyler back, Paul, like rapid fire, Tyler, Paul, Davon, of course, like the old school, like Derek, Dan, all those people. But I think now with what's going on in the world and with the whole Black Lives Matter, movement and just everything that's going on, I think that they really need to, if All-Stars is happening now more than ever, I want to see a lot of representation. Yeah. The sad thing for me was that I never really talked about it in casting. I said, I was a fan since 14 and I never tried out until I saw Victor. Not that I looked like him or anything. He was Hispanic. He was Latino. He was Puerto Rican. He was in his clip dancing salsa. And I remember I saw that. I remember watching that season saying, holy shit, that kid is like me. Like, they finally have somebody that I related to. There was a lot of game players that I loved, but I never related to anybody. And I just hope that they have more Latinos and more, instead of like just the black girl or just like the one black person, fill that fucking bitch up with a whole bunch of, representation.
And also, it's so easy to look at Big Brother the way you did as a child, because they fill such specific like casting needs. Yeah. Like there's always like the two jocks, the bromance, the nerdy girl, the older guy. Like there's always such a cookie cutter format. So I understand why if you don't see your type being represented, you're like, well, there's no place for me because I don't fit the model. So it makes sense why you
100%. And also, one of my big stories during casting was being a first generation and seeing the struggle my family went through. And that was not highlighted. I spoke about it so much in the house in interviews and cut scene, me bawling out. And it's me bawling out really about my struggle with my family. But then they cut it to where I'm crying about this person saying something to me, or me crying about right after an argument, which that's what pissed me off with my edit. I was like, holy shit, you had a chance. You had an opportunity to share a real story. And I saw it probably 2-3 times when I watched back my season. But I think that that's the thing, And a lot of people are scared to speak out about certain things like that. But I think now more than ever, this is the chance for them to show representation and just make it right. Not make it right, but just give us a platform to everybody just voice that, you know?
Completely. And then to flip that question, what Big Brother fan, what Big Brother players would you want to see in the challenge?
I would love to see Paul for my season. I think he would be great. I think there's a lot of people that, you know, would compete really well on the show. But this is the thing. And a lot of them reach out to me and talk to me. And they're like, hey, you know, I want to go on and I'm considering this. And I tell them straight up, I'm like, shit looks fun. There's a lot of good that comes with it. It's the most intense experience. These people are cutthroat. It's a different game. There's alcohol flowing every fucking day. You know, it's not Big Brother. And I try to from a mental point of view, like, perspective, I try to just, like, give them the dead honest truth of what it is, yeah. You know, because it's a completely different ballgame from Big Brother. And, you know, you really don't, you see it on TV and you see how intense it is, but you really don't get it until you're stuck in that environment. So I know that a lot of them do want to do the crossover, but it's intense. So I pitched Casey and Fessy when production was looking for minorities and representations and all that for the season, which that's what I love about MTV. Like, you know, especially this season, you see so many of us from different backgrounds and it feels like we're the majority. Yeah, I'm like, it feels like we're the majority for the first time on a show where it's like, you have Puerto Ricans and you have, you know, Black people and you have Casey that's, you know, so it's just like, it feels like, it's the first time where I was on a show where it's like, holy shit, there's so many of us. Yeah, we're all being represented. And I think that that's what I love about MTV, that they make it a, you know, when they were casting with Big Brother, they had a lot of people, but they weren't people of color. And I told them about Casey and Fessy, and they did their interviews, and they fucking love them. And I hope that they continue to cross over more. I would love to see Kemi and just more minorities on the show and continue to thrive, yeah.
I'm excited to see Fessy compete and get his hands a little bit more dirty.
Fessy's great. He's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, I feel like he was cut out for the show. He needs to get like a little more in the drama because he's very quiet, but whatever, it's fine. As long as...
It's like you can't win. Either you're involved in the drama and you're getting love or hate from it, or you're not involved at all. And it's fucking... I think that's why, you know... That's why with TV, it's like, you got to be cut out for this shit.
I know. It's so tough.
You really do. Terrible. It is. You're not going to make everyone happy.
It's so true. Okay. So I have five final questions. We're going to spill the tea. They're just like quick fire. You could expand if you want, but basically, we're going to spill the tea. Okay.
That's it.
So do they encourage you to yell in the diary room in Big Brother?
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. And when I watch back, I'm like, Joshua. So they would, we can't details, but all of my interviews, most, probably 70% of my diary room sessions were at 3 a.m. And I realized that I would be getting called in at 3 a.m. Paul would be getting called at 3 a.m. And a lot of people would get throughout the day interviews. But when I watch back, I'm like, we had a lot of fucking diary room rooms. But it's like, because I guess we brought that energy, but they would be like, say it with energy. I'm like, I just woke up out of fucking bed in the middle of the night, you assholes. Like, so they would want that. And when I watched, like, I'm like, dude, you were howling, but they love that. Everyone does. They love big personalities. They love bold personalities. And that's what makes it so. So you see this crossover to the challenge, and like, damn, he's died out of it. He's down. It's like, no, because we're not screaming, we're real fucking people, you know, we're not characters.
You know what's funny, actually? Your, like, diary, not your, like, diaries, whatever they're called, in the challenge are back to being, like, normal Josh, but I noticed Swaggies are still a little Big Brother. Like, the way he'll narrate things are still, like, a little Big Brother.
Yeah.
There's just such a specific, like, Big Brother interview.
Production says it, too. They're like, dude, they think they're filming a freaking diary group session, and one of my favorite producers, I won't say her name, she's like, your first season, everybody's first season that comes from Big Brother, they come in into their interviews like that, and we have to, like, literally rip that character off of them. And they're like, with you, like, you transitioned real quick and easy, but, like, your first season, you were like, I was like trying to be the loud one, Because, like, I guess it's just normal for me to, like, get in that environment in an interview and go back into that character.
And that's,
what I loved about, like, the challenge.
Yeah. That's how you know to do TV. Because, like, they taught you exactly. That way. That was your first show. So
yeah.
You get in front of
You can't blame Swaggy. Yeah. He's just, that's all he knows.
I noticed he's doing it. It's so funny. Okay.
Yeah.
Next one. Whose personality in real life is very different than on TV?
From what shows are we talking about?
Sorry, The Challenge.
Like
their on-screen persona, I guess.
Wes and Johnny.
Yeah, I could see that. Who's the smartest person in the Challenge House?
Wow. I mean, a lot of them are really fucking smart. I mean, can I just give a few names?
Mm-hmm.
I think Bailey and Swaggy, holy shit. Swaggy does math, and that's why I say everybody has their strengths and their weaknesses. He can do a math problem. I'm talking about a whole fucking equation in seconds. I think that also Jordan's very fucking smart. Yeah, but probably this season the smartest ones are Bailey and Swaggy and Jordan.
Yeah, that's who I'd guess probably. Who do you think receives the worst edit aside from yourself, like anyone else?
This season, I would have to say Nani.
Okay.
A lot of things were portrayed in, there's more to the story.
I saw them talking a little bit about it on social media.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Maybe that will come out at the reunion. Okay, and then last one, spill on a secret hookup that didn't make it on air so far this season. Like, is there any you could say?
Oh, shit. There's a lot.
I feel like they don't show anything. We need the drama.
They don't. I think
How about you? So you don't have to spill about someone else. I stumped you with this one. All right. A little flirty.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
would say flirting, and we had a little bit of, I would say me and Melissa. I think she was my type. Like, right off the bat, we hit it off, but it just, yeah, there was a whole situation going on there. But, I think me and Melissa. None. I think, fucking love Nani, but I think I realized I would never want to fuck up, and I think I realized while we were filming, I would never fuck up the friendship that we have over just hooking up, because I don't see us dating, but I mean, am I attracted to her? Yes, but I would never want to ruin the relationship we have. But I think it took this season for me to realize that.
That makes sense.
I don't want to expose hookups. There's a lot. Listen, there's a lot you don't see, and I'm glad.
Everyone's into Casey. Like, that's like the new thing. Like, I was listening to an interview, and even Melissa was like, "Yeah, like I liked Casey. Everyone likes Casey." I'm like, this girl's like the hot commodity in the house now.
If Casey was single, trouble in that house, because every fucking girl had it out for Casey. Every single girl. To the point where girls were fighting about Casey. Like,
amazing.
That doesn't make the edit. So it's like, yeah.
That's so good.
And I love her girlfriend, so yeah.
That's amazing. That's all I have for you. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. This was really fun.
Like, follow you on social and stuff like that.
Yeah. So my Instagram is Josh_Martinez_. And then my Twitter, cringeworthy. I can't change it. It's, Josh MBB19. Thank my sister for that when I was filming Big Brother.
awesome.
And yeah, thanks so much. This was a lot of fun. Thank you.
So much fun. I'm going to stop recording and then we'll...